Turn to Exodus chapter 21, and we'll begin reading tonight at verse number 28. Let's stand as we'll honor the reading of God's word. Exodus chapter 21, and we'll begin reading tonight at verse number 28. Exodus chapter 21 and verse number 28. Brother Lee was asking me about what I was going to preach tonight, and I said, I've got one out of the archives tonight. This is one of my revival messages. I used to preach pretty regular, and it just got put up for several years, and we got the dust off of it tonight, so we're going to do it again. And I believe it's what the Lord had me to preach. Exodus 21, 28, if an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horns in times past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. Whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. How about that tonight for a revival passage? Glory to God. All right, brother. Brother Gene, would you pray for this, and everybody can be seated tonight.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word.
Yes.
God, we ask tonight that you bless us in a special way.
Amen. Yes. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I understand that this passage I just read to you is a very unusual passage to preach from, especially in a revival service. But I want you to remember something about this time that this is taking place. At this time this is taking place, everybody does some planting and some growing and some farming, and no one had a tractor or a combine. This is about 4,000 years before John Deere, okay? And when you look at this thing, the ox was the common farm machinery of the day. And I want you to understand that the setting of this passage that I've just read to you is during the time that Israel has left Egypt and they're wandering 40 years in the desert. When you go back and read Exodus chapter 12, you'll find out over there that it says it numbers 600,000 men. That's not counting the children. So some people estimate maybe 1 million people going through there in that wilderness. I don't know how many people it was that Moses led, but you can see from that probably every family, if every family, just owned one ox, and we know they owned, some of them might have owned many more than that, there probably would arise some situations and circumstances that needed to be addressed. Now, historically, that's what this is. This is a passage that gives the rules and the consequences of keeping an ox for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, especially while they're traveling in the wilderness. I believe doctrinally, when you look at an ox, he's a type of a minister, a preacher, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 9. We're going to look at this ox devotionally or spiritually tonight. And this ox is going to represent some type of a sin or some type of problem or some type of something that's in our way and that we have not dealt with. And God has especially given us light about it, has especially brought it to us, our attention, and we know that it's there, and we know that it's not pleasing, and we know that it needs to be dealt with, yet somehow or another we think we've got by with it, and we've just refused to deal with it. I'm going to tell you something here tonight. If God's dealing with your heart about something, there's something he wants you to deal with, you got to deal with that tonight, or all this stuff about revival is just a facade. I mean, that's a great thing. I did not expect to leave my home and come here tonight and have Andy Lefwich and his wife singing tonight. Okay, that's wonderful. And, man, this is a great spirit in here, and I know you're ready. But the bottom line is all the good preaching and singing in the world ain't going to help nobody. You got to be willing to deal with something. And when God brings it to light, deal with it. That's what true revival is. You don't have any revival without repentance. All right, and as God deals with us about this thing, we're going to have to get rid of some things. We're going to have to do, folks say, you know, you need to preach to the heart. I believe that. I believe most preachers should be done to the heart. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes you need to preach on things. Sure. Things are connected to the heart. You know why I have trouble with things in my life? Because my heart likes it. When I get my heart right, I'll get what I'm doing with things right, okay? And when I think of when that preacher points his finger at me and preaches about how I do with things, then maybe to smoke my heart and make a change in my life. Now, some of you's looking at me a little buggy right now. I'm just getting started. It's going to get a lot tougher than this, so you just need to put your seatbelts on and lean back and enjoy it. Getting nausea or something, but we're just getting started, man. Now, we're going to look at three important things from this passage tonight. The title of this message, by the way, is A Deadly Ox Needs to Die. We're going to do some ox killing tonight, all right? And it's going to help us all. All right, let's look at this passage tonight. Number one, we got 3 points, no poem, and half a conclusion, then we'll go eat. Number one, very simple stuff tonight. If you can't control your ox, you kill it. And that's what that Bible said. 3 times in that passage, verse number 28, the ox shall be surely stoned. Verse number 29, the ox shall be stoned. Verse number 32, and the ox shall be stoned. According to the law, the ox that gored was to be killed. Matthew Henry, I like what he said. He put it in real plain terms when I read his commentary some years back on this passage. He said that that ox was to be kept or that ox was to be killed. In other words, if you couldn't keep that ox and you couldn't control that ox, you put a bullet through his eyes. Obviously, they didn't have a gun then, but you kill him. You do whatever you got to do to get rid of him. And I will just tell you this. Your out-of-control ox, let's just put it this way. In this day and time, there was absolutely nothing wrong with them owning an ox. As a matter of fact, they needed an ox. Owning the ox wasn't the sin. Owning the ox wasn't the problem. God was not against them having an ox. To get by and to make a living, they had to have an ox. The problem was when they didn't take care of their ox. The problem was not that they had the ox, but how they used it. Now, I'm going to be on that a lot here tonight. And I realize when I step off into what I'm fixing to step off into, it's going to be a field of landmines. And if you preach like this nowadays, they label you a legalist or they label you a Pharisee or everything else. I'm going on down the road tonight and I'm going to sleep well regardless of what you label me. Anybody that knows me personally knows that the heavy bishop is not a legalist. And if you know me personally, you know I'm not a Pharisee. All right, but where in the world do we get on that you can't preach against sin anymore? Where in the world do we get to this idea that we're going to have revival and we never touch the issues that are at hand? We never touch the oxes that's in the church and in the families and in the homes and in the living rooms and in the purses and in your pocket that's about to run over everybody and kill them and gore them to death. Bunch of gutless preachers that won't preach on it. I'll try to calm it back down. I've been preaching like this down there in Loango for 12 and a half years, so I'll calm it down for you a little bit. Temperance is still a fruit of the Spirit. And you know what I found out that's killing revival? I don't believe I'm preaching to a bunch of fornicators here tonight. I might. If you do, crawl up here to the altar and get right. I don't believe I'm preaching to a bunch of drunks here tonight. If you are, put your liquor down. But when I'm preaching to here tonight, what's going to rob this church of revival and rob you of personal revival is you got some things in your life that in and of themselves, if you do it right and act right, ain't nothing wrong with it. But you've turned the thing into sin. And the Bible says you really got 2 choices. You want to make practical application out of it. Get it under control. I can't get it under control. Kill it. Get rid of it. Don't fool with it. Don't touch it. Some of you have been making comments about how nice my wife looks. Why don't none of y'all bless God comment on how much weight I lost? Y'all don't think I look nice? You know, I have an inferior complex enough. Everybody, oh, your wife, she's so pretty. Look at her. And you still the big old fat slob you've always been. Amen. I'll tell you what I learned around my house some 40 pounds later. Shedding some 40 pounds, I cannot have cakes and Debbie cakes and sweet things in my cabinet. You say, Brother Dennis, are you so pitiful, are you so carnal, are you so wicked you can't control it? Yes! It's like a bottle of liquor. There's some things I've learned if I can't control to get rid of it. Now everybody's happy because I'm just talking about my stuff right now, but I'm fixing to get on yours. Again, don't nobody come up here bother me and shoot your mouth off at me about nothing tonight. Now I don't want to hear it. But I'm telling you right now, some of you got things in your life. You think you got control of it. You're deceived. And the best thing for you to do, at least until you get control of it, is get rid of it. I know a preacher one time that quit playing golf. Ain't nothing wrong with playing golf. He quit playing golf because he didn't have the golf. The golf had him. I know another preacher one time to quit playing chess. Ain't nothing wrong with playing chess. Help yourself if you ain't got nothing no better to do than that. I'd rather eat broken glass than play chess. I don't mind playing speed chess. Now, I like that play real quick. That's sitting there for an hour before you play something good night, man. You're wasting your life doing that. Oh, it's for intellectuals. That's my problem, yeah. Sometimes there's some things in your life, it's killing you spiritually. I'm going to go ahead and say some things. I don't give a rip how many TVs you got in your house. I don't care if you got 10. See, that spirit just dropped when I mentioned TV. I don't care how many computers you got in your house. I don't give a rip about that. I don't care if you got the smartest smartphone of all the smartphones in the world. I don't care, man. Set you up a TV in the bathroom. Put it on the wall where you can sit on the toilet and watch it. I don't care. I could care less. But when that thing's got a hold of you, it's time for you to get rid of it. You think you're going to come here and have revival and you can't turn the thing off. You know what it's doing to you. You know what it's doing to your children. And you make excuses for it. I got it. No, you don't have it. Now, I don't believe everybody's like me. I don't believe everybody's got to do like me. I don't believe just because I got trouble with something, you got trouble with something. I don't believe that. We're all different. What's a temptation to you may not be a temptation to me. What's a temptation to me may not be a temptation to you. But I learned years ago that if I want to walk with the Lord and have the power of God on my ministry and on my preaching and on my soul winning, there's some things I cannot be exposed to. I don't need that. If I want to have clean thoughts, pure thoughts, love for my wife, not worrying about all this mess in this world and other women and everything else, I've got to keep my mind and heart clean. Now, if that's legalistic preaching, bless God, I'm doing it tonight. We've gotten away from that. What's happened in our churches now, we got these nuts some 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago preaching all this stupid mess about if you wore flip-flops and wide-rimmed glasses and all you was a wicked person and you can't do this, you can't do it, making up standards, their standards. And we knew that bunch was stupid, and it was stupid. I don't care if they are your heroes. I don't care if you come out of that era. When you start telling somebody they're wicked for having a mustache on their face, you're crazy as a run-over doll. I don't care if they did lead you to the Lord or you were in their church. I about got half mad right now. You keep looking at me, I'll think up something else to say. But what we've done is we come to the other side now. Anybody that says anything about this stuff, he's a Pharisee. He's a legalist. No, you just want to live like the devil and think you're going to come in here, revive us again. You're crazy. You're not going to have the power on your God on your life personally. You're not going to have the power of God on your life in this church fooling around with mess. I can't even preach in my church sometimes down there, and I had a real good church. Stupid people on the phone playing. I don't know what they're playing back there. Playing, looking on their phone, laughing and giggling about it like some kind of braying jackass. Yeah, the man's up there preaching the word of God, and you back there playing around on the. Yeah, Brother Keith ain't never inviting me back. I can tell it right now. I know it. We just people don't believe it no more. You're playing on your cell phone. You're fooling around. You're texting people. And the man of God's up there preaching. You think God's going to blow in here with a revival? He's not. People spend more time on their computers and their TVs, fishing and hunting and football. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about football. It's getting bad in here now. I just ain't got any emotion. I'm just not very emotional.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Yeah, I bet it. I bet when Auburn was putting a whipping on them yesterday, you was unemotional. I bet when the Crimson Tide was struggling, man, and they weren't playing like you ought to, I bet you were real unemotional. Throwing stuff at the TV, hooping and hollering and carrying on. Don't tell me how unemotional you are. I'll go out there and cut my pocket knife out and cut your tires, and we'll see how unemotional you are. You're a very emotional person. You just put your emotion on the world. You don't put it on things that matter. You think I'm a nut and I'm an idiot because people like me will go up to the street and hold up a sign trying to keep somebody out of hell and preach on the street and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and somebody like Brother Lee Catenhead or me jump up at one of these old hymns singing here and just shout and raise their hands and just praise the Lord. You think we're some kind of nut, and then you scream and holler over a football game, and it don't matter who wins the cotton picking game. It won't matter 1 second in eternity. Who wins it? It won't matter. We don't do that silly. I don't know what they do down there now. I'm left. We didn't do that silly mess, that mess down there at my church when I was pastor down there, that not rubbing each other, Auburn, Alabama, Auburn. I basically let them know, hey, man, you come into church with that mess, more worried about getting on somebody and making fun of them about the Alabama and Auburn, you forgot about Jesus Christ. It's not sin, but it becomes sin when it's out of control. Lovers of the pleasures more than lovers of God. Now let's review before I go to the next point. Because I know what people, Brother Dennis said it's a sin to watch football. Brother Dennis said it's a sin to have a TV. Brother Dennis said it's a sin to have a computer. Brother Dennis said it's a sin to have a smartphone. Brother Dennis said it's a sin to be on Facebook. I didn't say that, but anyway. It's what you're doing with it. You can't control it. You know what you need to do? The gangsters. I am helping you, Brother Keith. They're going to love you when I get finished. Y'all thought Brother Keith, he just gets on this mess, and he just over and over and over. And brother, here we go again with Brother Keith. Then you heard me, you go, my God Almighty, thank you, Lord Jesus, I ain't the pastor. Number two, your out of control ox affects others. According to verse number 29 in this passage, the ox were wont to push. In other words, you knew that he was an ox that liked to push, that he was guilty of that. He had done it before. With his horns in time past, it had been testified to his owners that he had not kept him in. He's killed a man or a woman. The ox shall be stoned. His owner shall also be put to death. You know what that out of control ox does? It affects others. First of all, the thing's got out and killed somebody. That fella's dead. It sure, certainly affected him. And then the man that owns the thing, they're going to kill him. That's going to affect his wife and his children and the man that got killed's wife and children. It's going to affect it all. Our sinful neglect and lack of restraint will affect others. It will affect others. And you are silly into thinking that you're going to let that ox go on and it won't affect your children and it won't affect your marriage and it won't affect you spiritually. Amen. And it won't affect your church. Amen. Our lack of Bible reading and prayer and church attendance will affect your children. It will affect your spouse. It will affect this church. Listen to me tonight. Your lack of temperance, your out of control sins such as anger and lust and jealousy and spending, all that stuff affects others. When the ox got out, he gored others. When the man had to pay for the ox, it affected others. It'd be bad enough if your sin just hurt you and God and hurt your fellowship with the Lord. That's never how it happens. When that ox is wild and you know he's wild and you know you ought to done kill that thing, you know that you can't control that thing, you know that thing is a problem, and you don't deal with it, somewhere down the line it won't just affect you. It affects your youngins. Affect everybody. I'm trying to choose what I say here. I realize that this is a strong message tonight. I realize that. I realize that this is pretty tough for some people. I'm trying to help you tonight. I know there's some people in here that's not liking this right now. I've got that spirit, okay? And we're going to preach through it. I'm trying to help you. It's what I'm trying to do. If you get a hold of this tonight. Number three, I'm going to say this. You're going to be held accountable for every out-of-control ox. The Bible says there again, if the ox was not known to gore, the owner lived, and the ox died. How about that? If the ox just broke loose one day and he run out there and gored somebody to death, now they stoned the ox, but the man survived. What was the difference? Why is it if the ox broke out one day and killed somebody, they killed the ox and killed the man? Because the man had never seen that before. He had never witnessed any of that aggression, any of that aggressiveness by that ox. He did not know that that ox was like that. He had no light. He had no knowledge. It just broke out. He comes home one day, his wife pulls up, and he says, "Where you been?" "I've been at Walmart." "Did you know that the ox broke out?" "No, I didn't. I was at Walmart." The ox broke out. It killed somebody. Here comes the sheriff. We got. Okay, you're not going to be killed for it. But then when the ox gets out and he kills somebody, and the question comes out, and the sheriffs, the detectives come out and they say, "Well, let me ask you this: was there any history of this ox getting out before?" "Yeah, he got out 2 or 3 times." "Well, let me ask you this: had this ox ever showed any aggression before?" "Yeah, he had showed aggression 2 or 3 times. "Well, let me ask you this. Is this the first person this ox ever gored?" "Nah, he gored my neighbor about 2 years ago, and he killed my neighbor's dog about a year before that." "I see. So you kept an ox that you know is aggressive and, as the Bible says, wants to push and tries to gore stuff. You kept that ox knowing that he was so dangerous." "Well, yeah. All right. We're going to kill your ox, and then we're going to kill you." That was the Old Testament law. We still pay for an out-of-control ox, but we pay much more when we have an out-of-control ox, and we know we have an out-of-control ox. I think God is much more merciful when we don't have light on something. He hasn't convicted us about something. He hasn't brought it to our attention. But then he brings it to our attention and we refuse to deal with it.
Amen. Amen.
We continue down the road of rebellion. Once God reveals to us that we have a deadly ox, we've got to kill it. Now, that's what I want you to ask yourself tonight. I mentioned a bunch of stuff. I got half of you mad when I started talking about social media, and I realize that. I've made them mad. I've had them steaming down there over the years down there at Pleasant Grove, and that's all right. I'll sleep well at night because you're not a pastor, and you don't counsel people, and you don't deal with it as much as I do, how much that mess hurts people. And most of you ain't got it in control. All that mess is just a glorified gossip session. I tell you what, if some of you women get off that computer at night and spend as much time with your children and your husband, you'd have a better marriage, you'd have a better family life, and your life wouldn't stink so bad that you got to spend 3 or 4 hours on that junk every night. Amen, that's good preaching tonight.
Amen.
That's real good preaching. Some of you are smiling, some of you are laughing, some of you are saying, "Way to go, man, that's great." Most of you gray-haired people, you younger people, you ain't jiving with this, are you? I'm not saying anything tonight that I haven't said repeatedly down there in them woods 2 and 3 times as hard as I'm saying it tonight. You don't believe it, you get on that phone after this thing's over tonight and you call some of them. I don't go to somebody else's church and say something I won't say at mine. An ox will hurt you, kill you. And we will pay a great price when he does. And someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to die. I got to thinking about this. I'm going to go on and we're going to get this thing heading toward the end here. I got to thinking, why in the world would a fellow want to keep an ox around that he knows is dangerous? He knows that it wants to push. It has pushed. He knows that it's hurt people and will hurt people. Why in the world would a man keep an ox around when he knows it's so dangerous and it has so much potential to really hurt somebody? So I sat down and I got to thinking, why would a fella do that? I come up with 3 or 4 things, and that'll be the end here tonight, just a few more minutes. Number one, he'd do it because he's greedy. He's selfish. He's more concerned about making a living than obeying God and the welfare of others. He's more concerned about making something with that ox and taking care of himself than what that ox is doing to everybody else, like his children, like his wife, like his church, like his mama, like his daddy, like his siblings, like his neighbors. He's selfish. He's greedy. He's self-centered. He's only thinking about himself. That's why he wouldn't kill the ox, Brother Gene. He knows that it's dangerous. He knows that it might hurt somebody, but he's too greedy. He's too selfish. He's too self-centered to stop it. And he cares more about what he can get from and gain from that ox than he does about what God done told him in the law to do about it. Then I got thinking about another reason. Why would a fellow not kill an ox that he knows is dangerous? Well, he wouldn't kill that ox because of indifference. Just don't really care how aggressive he is. Just caught up in his life, you know. We got our places we're going. We got our things we're doing. We're just busy. We're just running. We just got this going, hey, I'll see about that ox later. It's neglect. It's laziness. And let me tell you something, folks. Everybody look up here at me. The worst laziness in the world is spiritual laziness. Don't you come up here and talk to me, men, about how you worked and everything you got you earned. And I learned to work when I was a little boy. I put in 60 and 70 hours a week, and I'm a hardworking man. I work. Yeah, and then you get around and you talk about how everybody else is lazy and they don't work like you. And let me tell you something. I don't care if you work 70 or 80 hours a week, men, and it's commendable. You ought to work. Most people won't work nowadays. You ought to work. But don't you brag about what kind of work ethic you got. If you're lazy, you're lazy. You're lazy in the things of God. That's the worst laziness there is. Well, tell me about how many hours that you put in every week when you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't come to church, you don't try to set aside time to win some souls. You wouldn't put a plug nickel in the plate to get a soul saved. You invest and work. And how you just really work your fingers to the bone, but you don't do anything for Jesus Christ. Now I got to thinking about this. Another reason a fellow might know an ox would gore and he wouldn't kill it because he loves that ox more than the welfare of others. He loves the ox more than God who gave him the ox. How about that? He loves that ox more than the God that gave him the ox. He loves that ox more than the God that could give him much more than the ox. And then I got to thinking about one more thing. Why wouldn't a fellow that knows he's got an aggressive ox, why wouldn't he kill an ox he knows it's dangerous? I'll tell you why. Because as of right now and right then, he has not suffered the consequences of owning a deadly out of control ox. So in other words, at that point, he hasn't killed anybody yet. And you know what that man's thinking? He's thinking, it's worth the risk to disobey God. The ox has been wanting to push. I really don't think he'll kill nobody. Let's roll the dice and take our chances on him. I haven't suffered any consequences of it. He ain't killed nobody yet. I know what the law says. I know what God says about it. I know what the chances are that he might just do it. But he hadn't done it yet, see? Nope, nobody's come to me and said, we're going to stone you for murder. I'll take my chances. I take my chances because I'm greedy and I'm selfish. And I love what I want more than anybody or everybody else in this world, including God. Don't give a rip what he says. I'm going to keep my ox. And maybe, just maybe, he won't kill anybody. I'm going to take the chance. Let me just tell you this. When the ox does kill someone, and he will, I promise you at that point, you won't be overcome with greed no more. You'll care less about what you were getting with that ox. When the ox gets out and he kills your youngin, your youngin, your ox killing your youngin, and your marriage, and your church. Yep. When he gets out, I promise you this, you won't be indifferent and lazy about it no more. He'll say, God in heaven, God in heaven, God in heaven, why didn't I do something?
Yes, sir, preacher.
Your love for that ox will leave immediately. You'll be glad to kill that dumb, stupid ox. It'll be too late. And you know why? Because now that ox has killed someone else. And now he's going to kill you. Every head bowed and eye closed. I'm going to let Brother Keith close the thing just like he wants to. And while he's coming up here, I did not come here to offend or hurt anybody's feelings, but God help you tonight to respond to this thing if you need to. I pray you will.
If you need to come while my wife is playing, you come on to the altar now.